Yeah, maybe just
say my name.
Yeah, say your name. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for coming. My name is Fungai Mukome, and I'll be presenting some of the work that we've been doing at UC Davis, looking at biochar and biochar mineral phase stability. And so that ties in nicely with everything else that everybody else has been talking about this afternoon. I guess the big question is, why does it matter? And once we get to understand how biochar is stabilized in soil, we can actually get to the key question of how long is it going to be in the soil. Yeah, I'm sure other speakers have shown that biochar is stable. They're showing that there's increased aromaticity. But what's the time scale? So that's the question that we wanted to answer. And then we also wanted to answer the question, well, is it itself is a stabilizing source of black carbon, but what effect does it have on native organic carbon? And somebody else talked about that a little bit earlier. So all of these processes are something that we need to consider. And once we know them, we can definitely better understand and predict what's going to happen when we start talking about climate change modeling. So soil analysis typically is at the bulk phase. But the answer, really, if we want to understand how biochar is going to stabilize, how it's going to be stabilized in soil, it's actually done at the nano and the micro scale level. So we use two different techniques, scanning transmission X-ray microscopy, which gives you nanoscale resolution, and on the micro scale, you've got synchrotron Fourier transformed IR, and from now on in the rest of the talk, you'll see those abbreviations for those two techniques. Like I said, with the STXM, you can get an idea of carbon functionality, and you get really good imaging, and you'll see some of the images later on. With IR, you compromise on the imaging, but compared to standard IR methods, your spot size goes from 35 micrometers down to 10 micrometers. So it's a really good technique for both of them. So the objectives of our study were to elucidate specific binding mechanisms between the soil minerals and biochar from different feedstocks and determine if soil stabilizes biochar. My PI, Sanjay Parikh, presented a little earlier, and he showed the three different types that we used of biochar. So I didn't include any of the properties, but if you have any questions, I can answer those. But those are the pyrolysis temperatures for the three biochars. We put them in little chambers like this and use an application rate of 10 tons per hectare, which, as somebody else was alluding to earlier, is more reasonable than 50 tons and 100 tons, which you see in a lot of publications. And then we did three replicates, and we used a moisture content, just maintained that for the entire period of incubation at 25 degrees C, and we incubated for 60, 180, and 365 days. So you'll see that data as we go along, and those are the treatments at the bottom. So once you've incubated the biochar, you need to process it for analysis on the STXM. So this whole section is really getting the sample to a state where it can be analyzed under the microscope. So what you do is you take the biochar. We took the biochar from the incubations, freeze-dried the soils, and then removed the biochar from the soils. We didn't wash them, and I'll explain a little bit later why. And then we embedded them in sulfur. And the reason we embedded in sulfur is because we're after the carbon K edges. And so once you need to use a resin, which is what you typically do when you microtome your samples, that doesn't have any carbon. And so sulfur is the medium that we use. And the method we used was modified from Hugo and Caddy. And then you cut the biochar into thin sections of about 60 to 100 nanometers thick, and then you put them onto a TEM grid, which is right at the bottom over there. So analysis was done at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab at the Advanced Light Source. Up at the top here is Beamline 5.3.2. That does STXM analysis. And at the bottom is 1.4.4, which does synchrotron IR. And I just put in a couple of specs on the different instruments so that you can get an idea of the difference between these techniques and the standard techniques that you find typically in our labs. So this is what the STXM data looks like. And look at the scale. And here you've got soil, you've got biochar, and another biochar over there. So you can clearly see what's happening. I mean, you can see clear images of biochar and soil. And you can actually go into there and get spectra at that level. So it's an amazing technique, and this is just one of the biocharts. So from now on, I'm just going to be talking about one particular biochar in the interest of time. So all the results are associated with the high-temperature biochar or the 510 biochar. It's a wood feedstock biochar. So I've plotted the results looking at the carbon edges for that biochar from unincubated all the way up to 365 days. This is in soil, and this is in soil after 60 days. And this in the middle here is without soil. And what you see is this peak here. And let me backtrack and just say something that, so that nobody's confused. Over here are assignments given to these the peaks. And those are in literature. But as somebody said yesterday, these are basically bins to put in the peaks that we see. It's not cast in stone. So it gives you an idea of what's happening, but it's again a relative technique. So what you do see is this peak here at about 287.7, which is over here, and is attributed to aliphatic carbon, disappears by the time you've had your biochar sitting in the soil for about a year. And if you look at the biochar without the soil, you do still see that peak there a little bit. But again, it could also be due to ketone carbonyls that are also appearing on the surface. But what's also important is to see is that the aromatic carbon at 285.5 doesn't change at all. It's persistent and it's present throughout the incubation. And then I'm going to bring your attention to this peak up over here, which is just a shoulder peak. And if you don't look closely, you won't see it. But if you look in the original biochar, it's not there. But as the biochar ages, you start seeing this peak at 284.3, and that's associated with quinone C. And that's typically what you see when carbon or humics, for example, are decomposing. So there's some decomposition occurring. And I've taken that image again that I showed you earlier, and I'm blowing it up so that you can see all the spectra as you go from the soil to the biochar, and these in here are interface spectra, and you can kind of see what the soil looks like and what the biochar looks like, so they're totally different. And then as you come into the interface, you start seeing all of these crazy peaks in there, and once you assign all these peaks, you can get a better understanding of which functional groups are doing what and which ones are present at the interface. So let's look at the synchrotron IR data and see whether that matches up with what we were seeing with Stixum. And with a synchrotron IR, you definitely see, for example, the carbonyls, over the ester groups right over here, which were absent in the original material. And after 60 days, we start seeing that. It's showing up on the surface of the biochar once it's being incubated with soil. Interestingly, when there's no soil present, those groups are not there. So there must be something happening between the soil and the biochar that has something to do with these groups. Same thing applies at the peak that's down at 1260. Again, it's also carboxyl CO and OH. I'm not going to go too deep into these peaks and valleys, but yeah, I just want to get you to appreciate what it's showing you. I zoomed in to this 1400 to 700 range so that you can kind of get a better picture of what you see. So over the top in the dashed lines is the unincubated biochar. And I've got biochar incubated with kaolinite after a year. And the red is, because it's going to stand out the most, that's the surface of the biochar. And the brown is the interior of the biochar. So you can see that you can actually get resolution to differentiate between what's happening at the external surface, the internal surface, and in the middle of the biochar versus what's happening. In typical IR, you just get one spectrum. And you can see the carboxyl groups, there's reduced carboxyl activity with time, but aromatic carbonyls are increasing in the biochar surface, and aliphatic CO is decreasing compared to the unincubated biochar, and then also in the aromatic CHs. So some way, somehow, we're getting an increased functionalization of the biochar at the surface versus the unincubated biochar. So what does that tell us? Or what can we suggest or insinuate from that? Well, it suggests that carbonyl and carboxyl functional groups are somehow involved in stabilizing or potentially involved in stabilizing the biochar and potential mineral interactions. It's something that we're looking into. We want to do some more studies and look at how do you you get stacks. So if you use Stixim, you can actually lay on images of the same area but at different energies. And so the different energies associated with different minerals and elements. And so if you can map the carbonyl or carboxyl image and overlay it with iron and they match up, then you can actually almost get an idea of whether the iron is interacting with the biochar through these functional groups. And then the question of whether the soil stabilizes or enhances degradation of biochar, again, it's not totally clear in this set of data that I showed you, but there is other data that another biochar that we did, and we can clearly see there is a much more degradation of the biochar in the presence of soil than it is when it's incubated by itself. I just wanted to acknowledge the UC Davis ASI Institute for the funding, the Hewlett-Packard, again, for funding also, and all the Beamline scientists at ALS, at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, and the members of my group at UC Davis. Thank you. Yeah, it would play a role in interaction, definitely, it would be.
Water, because your spectroscopy cannot view it.
You're right, exactly my analysis, exactly, yeah.
So the first spectroscopy, what was the nature?
It's dry, it's also dry. It's a dry biochar. It's all dry, there's no wet.
The incubations are dry?
No, the unincubated biochar is what he was asking.
And just yes. A quick question and a quick answer, please. Yes.
So tell me about biochar and aggregate formation in soils based on your knowledge that the carboxyl and the hydroxyl groups and the carbonyls in some way are interacting with mineral surfaces. What do you think that implies about how biochar functions actually in natural soils and aggregation processes?
Well, I think it acts as almost like a site for encouraging aggregation. And so that's basically what it's doing. And so you begin to see stability in soil. It's like having organic matter in your soil. Your soils bind together much better. And I think
so. A good advocate of the idea that biochar is a nucleation point. It draws mineral particles in and encapsulates itself.
And it itself one has lots of minerals in it. So yeah, I definitely do so. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.